Alliance Physical Therapy Partners and Agile Virtual Care proudly presents Agile and Me, a physical therapy leadership podcast series, a podcast devised to help emerging and experienced therapy leaders learn more about various topics relevant to outpatient therapy services.
Welcome back to Agile and Me, a PT leadership podcast series. Today we have Sam Lukowski. This is the second podcast in a three-part series on marketing. So welcome back, Sam. Appreciate you diving in and helping us with this topic. So the topic for today is about social media, leveraging social media, which is something that as almost a baby boomer, I suppose, almost not quite, I have really limited understanding of, and not only limited understanding, but I can't wrap my head around sometimes. So this is going to be an interesting topic for me to discuss with you. So I know it's really important and increasingly so. So I'm interested to find out how it can be used to leverage and to help outpatient physical therapy. So first off, you know, what do we mean? What are we talking about when we say social media? You know, I'm sure it covers a multitude of sins. I'd love to get your idea of, you know, what the term embraces.
Yeah, so social media is really, the way that I see it, it's a pillar within the content marketing strategy of a marketing plan. Obviously, we, you know, use social media in our personal lives to stay in touch with friends and family and post, you know, your highlight reel, so to speak. But when we're talking about social media in relationship to business and business marketing, it's part of the content marketing plan. So it's about, you know, creating and strategizing unique and relatable content. It's about maintaining a reputation online, keeping, you know, your ear to the ground on what your community thinks about your, definitely, you know, an opportunity to engage with your community and, you know, connections that you have within the industry. And then, you know, an avenue to celebrate staff and patients, because obviously, like I said, you know, our staff and patients are using it in their personal lives as well.
It's interesting that when we talk about social media, we have to, well, first off, it's only one pillar, isn't it? So mm-hmm. I think it's not an either or. And whilst it can be very helpful, it's not the be all or end of a marketing strategy. It's just one piece. But also what I find very interesting about social media is until fairly recently, I didn't realize that really you have to segment your target population as well, which was a bit of an epiphany. It's common sense in a way, but you have to be quite refined about it as well. And in our business, outpatient physical therapy, there are different groups that you have to target within social media. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, it varies by platform and definitely by industry. We, you know, part of our content marketing plan, a one-size-fit-all social media plan used to be enough. It used to be enough to just be on social media and post, and have today's society, today's social media audience requires a degree of refined content, targeted content that feels transparent, authentic, you know, all of those things that reflect who you are as a brand and what you stand for, you know, all of those things. They need something that's a little bit more catered to their own experience.
Yes, I'm definitely showing my age here, but I can remember when social media really just consisted of Facebook. And even before then, there was another tool that was competing against Facebook that eventually, you know, died out. I can't even remember it now, but that was it, wasn't it? And everyone, that, you know, regardless of what you wanted to post, you just went defaulted to Facebook because that was where the eyeballs were. But there's a lot more to it now, isn't there? I can't even keep up with regards to the platforms. There seems to be a platform for pretty much anyone and everyone, isn't there? So what are the kind of main platforms that people hear about and probably use within our healthcare environment sphere?
Yeah, so, you know, your big players are going to be Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, probably Twitter, but honestly, not really worth your time in healthcare marketing. There's TikTok. Can't forget about this humongous platform that is growing rapidly. And then some of your smaller ones like Pinterest, Snapchat, definitely not applicable in a business setting. And then, you know, sometimes people will loop YouTube into a social media platform. I see it kind of more as an avenue to get, you know, branded messaging out, video content out, less so an opportunity to engage with your audience, but more so to, you know, as an avenue to perpetuate into, what's the word I'm looking for? Push out your branded messaging.
So it's interesting you mentioned Twitter, tweeting. Obviously in the news we've got Mr. Musk, who wanted to buy and probably doesn't want to buy at the moment Twitter. That to me was almost I perceived it as an immediate way of getting out a sound bite. You're saying that perhaps doesn't work in outpatient therapy. Is that because of what we're trying to communicate and educate to our patients, do you think?
Yeah, I think Twitter moves too fast. It's almost designed now. It's almost a news outlet. People are putting out, like you said, those sound bites, very small snippets of information rapidly. You know, Twitter feeds go by the second. You know, your Facebook and Instagram, even TikTok feeds, the algorithm works very differently. It's going to cater content to what you've engaged with in the past. Feeds that you're interested in, profiles that you're interested in, it can show you content up to, you know, days, months, even a year back. Twitter doesn't operate that way. It's stream of consciousness almost. And in the physical therapy world, in outpatient, you know, healthcare marketing, that's just not really the goals of a social media strategy in execution.
So not only we've got to think about different social media platforms targeting different stakeholders, be it the patient, be it our employees, be it physicians, be it payers, whomever, but also it's thinking about the type of content. So certain content will favor certain platforms. So it's really matching the platform with who your audience is, with the content you're trying to push out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, that's, I mean, exactly how you design any piece of marketing. And social media takes it a step further where you're almost just designing mini campaigns all of the time.
Now, the thing that I struggle with nowadays is you've got all these multiple platforms, and I'm sure that over time there'll be more, and some of these that we've mentioned will fade somewhat and others will. Is there noise as it pertains to just volume of content? Are we fighting, you know, a voice regardless of the platform one's using? Is it saturated yet? So if I'm a private practice owner and you want to start putting content onto social media, is there still the ability to be heard based on the fact that pretty much everyone's doing it?
I think that there is. Yes, I think there's still an opportunity to be heard if you've refined your content and your audience in the way that marketing professionals can. It's not about, you know, the vanity metrics of, you know, how big is my reach? How many, you know, followers do I have? How many impressions? How many eyeballs am I getting? It's about Your social media strategy is about, do I have the right eyeballs on my content? What's my engagement rate? Like, that's the metric that we would use to measure, you know, quality of content and actual, you know, how effective our social media strategy is. In my opinion, I 100% think that, you know, social media as a concept is probably oversaturated, way bigger than I think anybody ever anticipated it probably to be. But that's where, you know, marketing comes in. It's, you know, have you curated a engaged community, really? And it's about, you know, what their perception is of you and not necessarily what all these other people, you know, what their other experiences are on social.
So again, things seem to have moved on by the sounds of it, whereas in the past it was measured how many followers I can get, how many clicks I can get. I remember my son coming home from school and it was all about how many people were following. So it's really much more nuanced now. It's not so much how many, it's who is following. Mm-hmm. And I assume the data analytics has improved where we can actually drill down and find out who is following. So it's not so much quantity, it's quality, if I hear correctly.
Absolutely.
And With regards to the term engagement rate, can you just explain to me what engagement rate means?
Sure. So it's an algorithm, it's an equation. It's going to take the amount of users that a post reached, and that's called impressions. And it's going to divide that by the amount of engagement that you got on a singular post, or if you're measuring your profile, how many engagements you had on an entire profile. So it's going to take, how big the reach was, how engaging the post was, and it's going to give you an engagement rate. And essentially what that means to us is, of the amount of people that I reached, how, not how engaged they are, but how engaging was the content that I put out there. And that it is directly, it gives you a measure of, am I doing this right? Am I giving, my community that I've already built, am I giving them what they want to see and what they, want to keep on their feeds?
Then obviously, bottom line is if you are able to, with the right platform, with the right content, engage the right people. I assume from a financial perspective, it's cheaper at the end of the day because it might be, say, $5 for each person that you bring through, you capture, but it's got to be cheaper than 50 cents on an entire population. So I would imagine, target your spend better as well. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole host of opportunity to, and that's why I think social media is so powerful for physical therapy, because it's an organic tool. It's free to use. There's, paid opportunities to get your content, placed in a certain person's vision, but organically, it's free to play. And as long as you're being strategic, unique, relatable, authentic, all of those things that, society demands of us today, then yeah, I mean, you're driving visits, you're driving visits to your website, visits to your clinic for, pennies.
We'll continue the conversation after a short music break and advertisement.
Most orthotic manufacturers take a one-shape-fits-all approach to solving lower body pain and symptoms. They focus on arch support for temporary pain relief, which can end up leading to inefficiencies and injuries. That's where BioCorrect is different. More than just an insert, BioCorrect is a fully customizable foot orthotic system engineered to address and treat biomechanical imbalances of the entire body. And we're backed by more than 25 years of experience. To learn more, visit us at biocorrect.com.
Welcome back to Agile and Me, a physical therapy leadership podcast.
Now, what are the key social media platforms, private practice owners, small businesses, really, outpatient therapy business, that is, what platforms are really critical and key for the business? Because I could spend all day posting content and replicating it across multiple platforms, but I don't have all day. So where do you find the biggest bang for the buck?
Facebook and LinkedIn. Facebook is a tool that establishes credibility. It, you can generate reviews. You can, it's kind of operates like a mini website where you can have contact information. You can have call to actions. It allows for a wider breadth of content. Facebook's audience is a little bit more, I don't want to say forgiving, but they're a little more inclusive when it comes to the amount of content that you're putting out there. There's opportunity for lots of engagement there. And then LinkedIn is really powerful from a talent acquisition, whether it's retention or acquisition of staff, the LinkedIn presence is really critical. We see today now in the job market.
So again, the way I perceive it in a very simplistic manner is Facebook tends to be more patient focused and LinkedIn tends to be more peer professional focused. But having said that, our colleagues, our professional colleagues, what I've heard is when they are searching for an employer of choice, not only will they obviously troll LinkedIn, but they also actually look at Facebook and TikTok and the other ones at the content that's being primarily generated for patients, but they're also getting an idea and understanding of the culture of the business through actually looking at what's being provided for the patient. Is that right?
That's 100% correct. Right. There's the Edelman is a PR firm out of Chicago, and they put out this, they call it their trust barometer every year. And in 2021, their study found that there's a 5-to-1 margin of employees who prefer to work for employers that are active on social media. You know, the way that people, society, you know, individuals are looking to social media as a measure of authenticity, it can't be underscored enough.
So bottom line is, if you're a company or a private practice, if you want to recruit, you have to be doing social media.
Absolutely.
Just to make everyone aware, Facebook isn't a corporate sponsor of Agile and Me. More than welcome to for them to actually be a corporate sponsor, but you know, no funding from Facebook. So sounds as if social media has changed over the last few years, how it has influenced different stakeholders and also the importance of it. What have you seen? Perhaps we've touched on this already, but what have you seen that's been the big changes in social media as a tool for business?
Yeah, you know, we did talk about it a little bit, but I think just, you know, harkening back to that idea of social media establishing credibility, whether it's as a business, as an, you know, as an employer, whether, you know, we would call those two different audiences, B2B, so business to business, or B2C, business to consumer. So it's going to establish credibility. It's going to establish authenticity. And that's like for both different audiences, there's two different, you know, ideas that you want to, there's two different ideas that you want to be capturing there. So it's more than like brand recognition for patients, but that's also, you know, credibility in the sense of patient testimonials. So proving the impact and the power of your healthcare. It's also, you know, when we speak about the B2B side of things, so it's, you know, what does credibility mean to that, to them, to that population? It's about, you know, like you said, showing off culture, showing off, you know, who you are as an employer, what kind of experience a potential staff member could have when they come to your company, things like that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, even a short period ago, I'm thinking of, say, recruiting, for instance. But I think the same is true for patients, where I think patients and potential employees would connect with the business, be that in person, telephone, or through knowledge through friends, family, referral sources, and then possibly use the website as the secondary information. Whereas from what I think I'm seeing now is it's flipped, where people will first off go to social media, the website, online presence, and then form their initial opinion, have their first experience through that. Because it's easier to access the information, which really is a game changer for organizations. So I think you have to be very careful, don't you, with the content, because it can very easily and profoundly impact the perception of various stakeholders of your business.
Everyone's first impressions are being drawn from your digital presence, whether it's your website or social media. That's absolutely correct. And we talked about it in the first episode of this series, in that, you know, if your website is not aesthetically pleasing, or, you know, aesthetically up to, you know, modern times, you can pretty much, you pretty much regard that business as lost. And the same goes for social media.
And I think that's borne out with you mentioned the Edelman Trust Barometer in 2021, with regards to the number of employees that draw their first impressions from digital media, isn't it? So what were those percentages then, and what did they say about the employees?
Yeah, so the Edelman Trust Barometer reported that 60% of employees will draw their first impressions from digital media, so directly, you know, in support of what we were just talking about. And then this is always the one that makes me surprised, just because of the sheer, you know, amount of it. But 93% of employees say that direct and transparent communication is a reason to stay with a company as well. So we're not just talking about attraction, acquisition. We're also talking about retention here too.
Yeah, I think I've learned this lesson the last few years by trying to be more engaged on social media platforms than I have in any time. And as a leader, I see it as an effective medium for communicating with employees. In fact, probably more effective, or at least as effective, than kind of traditional email communications with employees. We all know that the open rate of emails is somewhat low within businesses, even high functioning businesses, but everyone seems to be on the social media piece. So I see it as a leader, even though it's an external medium, as a great way of connecting with employees.
It's a great way to connect with current employees, potential employees, but even taking it a step further, I think, from what I understood from the study, the part about direct and transparent communication, it goes to speak to things that are happening in the world as well. Potential employees and current employees are looking to their leadership to make statements and, be authentic, be genuine, and speak about, issues and problems that are happening even further than what's going on directly in the company as well. So just something else to keep in mind there as well.
So a lot has changed in social media the last 10 years, probably the last few years, even with COVID. I'm sure that's had a profound impact on the use of social media. How do you think it's going to look the next few years, the use of social media and content and all things social media? What do you think will happen the next few years, specifically as it pertains to how it is used and what is used for outpatient PT clinics?
So the way that I see it, I think social media is a tool to address something that you've talked about in the podcast quite a bit, which is the 90%, the 90% problem, and maybe you can, put it better than I can, but it speaks to the amount of people, Americans, I believe, that have an MSK disorder related issue and aren't seeking out care just from lack of understanding or lack of awareness. So as far as, the impact on outpatient physical therapy and social media, I see it as addressing the 90% problem, creating an avenue, creating context and insight to what physical therapy can do as a healthcare offering. It's kind of, I see it also, a physical therapy to me, it's a little more niche when it comes to healthcare marketing. Definitely can have that wow factor or, something we haven't seen all the time in our, throughout the course of social media content. And so, we saw a lot of those more niche communities and industries blow up on TikTok over, during the pandemic when people were just searching for, interesting things that were outside of their, typical experience. And so I also see it as something directly in line with that. I think it has the opportunity to kind of jump on to the momentum that some of those communities have created on, from a video perspective. So I think there's a lot of opportunity from a video content perspective. And I think more than anything, it's an opportunity to create context and awareness for what physical therapy can do for just, the standard person.
That's interesting. It's the concept of the rising tide, raises all ships, isn't it? And I think we have an opportunity as a profession to really improve, explain our value to customers directly like we've never had before, and also increase our credibility. I'd say therapists and therapy profession do a terrible job at promoting oneself. I'm not quite sure why, but it's interesting that you say that. I think you feel the next few years with social media, we can have a profound impact to that and reach that 90% of people that we're not seeing but would benefit from us.
We'll continue the conversation after a short music break and advertisement.
The world around us is changing at a rapid pace, and so is our preference for how, where, and when we choose healthcare. That's where Agile Virtual Care answers the call. Agile Virtual Care is a comprehensive telehealth solution, revolutionizing physical therapy by making PT convenient, safe, and accessible across the entire country. For providers and employers looking to offer employees different options for preventative and continual care, Agile Virtual Physical Therapy delivers the comfort and convenience that patients want and the quality care they deserve from experienced, licensed therapists.
Welcome back to Agile and Me, a physical therapy leadership podcast.
So if we pivot a little bit and look at what can practically be done by practice owners. So practice owners don't have huge budgets. In fact, even the large PT companies on the whole tend to spend a very small percentage of their revenue on marketing, which I think is short-sighted, but you know, that's the economic reality. But as a private practice owner that really have a great deal of resource, you know, what do they need to be doing on social media? What's important for them to be doing with the resources they do have?
The overarching, you know, item that needs to be addressed on social media is just to showcase your brand. You've spent years of your life building your recognition within the community, your patient database, your referral database. Showcase who you are as a brand. There's so many different, you know, tiny little things that can be done underneath that, but to show who your brand is, who your clinic is, what your personality is as a leader, what your staff's personality is. I think the biggest thing that I look for when I'm, you know, researching a company truly on social media is I want to know what my experience is going to be like when I walk in the door there. And if you can give that behind the scenes context, I think you'll find that patients are going to be more engaged, more willing to follow through with their course of care because they've created a connection. They've created their impression of you prior to even coming in. They already know who your team is. They already know, you know, what the space looks like. And so nothing is, you know, they're probably most likely going to be the most engaged. At the very minimum, you know, things that you want to be doing on social is utilizing it as if it's an opportunity to convert a potential patient. So ensuring all of your contact information is up to date, accurate. You know, you're creating a lot of avenues for a patient to get in touch with you. So whether that's, you know, using call to actions on your social media that directs them directly to a form on your website that allows them to request an appointment, you know, directions to your clinic, things like that. It's, you know, the small things, really. Obviously, you know, when you have a marketing team or a marketing professional on staff, you can kind of, you know, send them off and build out this, you know, content marketing strategy. But, you know, at the very least, just ensuring that, you know, if a potential patient were to find you, that they're able to get in touch with you.
And brand's interesting because, you know, we've talked about the targeting your audience and using the appropriate platform. But the brand in part, and correct me if I'm wrong, brand in part is also developed, sustained or damaged by not only what you say, but how you say it as well, isn't it? You have to be consistent, don't you, with your messaging and how you present yourself to truly get long-term brand value, is that right?
Long-term brand value and, you know, to ensure that the people that you are reaching, you're creating an inclusive, you know, space for them. I think we've all seen, you know, those businesses on social that come, you know, unhinged or will, you know, use their business platform to, you know, make statements or, you know, say things that maybe are a little off color. And yeah, you want to be creating, you know, an environment that's obviously inclusive to everyone, whether that's within your clinic or on social media.
If I remember correctly, it's like the owner of Hobby Lobby, but anyway, we won't go there. So if I'm in the clinic, I'm clinic director or owner, what type of posts and content tends to resonate with patients and prospective patients? So I've decided I'm going to use social media. I've decided the platform that I've signed up for, more so specific to patients, perhaps. What do I need to post? You know, is it a picture of my dog, picture of a patient on a treatment table? What tends to resonate and get that engagement?
All right, get your pens out. So the two biggest pieces of content that we see that are the most engaging is either going to be patient focused or staff member focused. So under the patient focused content, obviously those success stories, those testimonials, thing to establish legitimacy behind treatment. For staff focused content, this one continues to surprise me, but you know, if you've curated and refined your audience enough, you're going to have, you know, former or current patients who are absolutely in love with what those therapists are doing for their lives. And so they want to celebrate alongside your staff. So work anniversaries, professional achievements if they've received new certifications or credentialing, personal victories. We have a really engaged audience out in Maine. And I've never seen, you know, patients get so excited for a staff member getting married or having a baby or, you know, just those personal victories that your patients want to, you know, be there and celebrate with alongside your team. So,
I just thought of a funny story. I've written articles and posted them on LinkedIn and be lucky to get 100 views or 200 views. And spent hours carefully crafting articles. And then I just essentially share and comment on a new talent acquisition specialist starting employment with Alliance Physical Therapy Partners. And that went viral. I think it got thousands of views. So it was certainly a surprise to me that it's not rocket science, is it? It's oftentimes the simple stuff that gets the best attention.
Oh yeah, it is. I'll say, you know, you could be as strategic and, you know, academic about social media as you want to, but it's oftentimes, you know, very frustrating as a marketing professional. But you can, like exactly what you just said, throw a post together in 30 seconds, and I mean, 8 times out of 10, that's the one that's going to get the most views. So I don't know what that says about everything I just said, but
I don't know what it says about people's attention spans. But it's funny. And then, not only in regards to, you know, staff-focused content, you were going to talk about kind of patient-focused content. So what tends to resonate from a patient side?
So, yeah, there's different opportunities for catering your content towards patients. What we see a lot is any kind of service or treatment-focused content. So we see a lot of videos from our partners that, you know, when they have the bandwidth to be able to put those out, they perform, you know, tenfold over just a standard, you know, branded post, but showing, demoing different exercises, different unique treatments, like I, you know, harkening back to that kind of wow factor of video content, something maybe they've never seen before. You know, red cords is a great example that seems to get a lot of, you know, eyeballs and interest because it's not something that, you know, it's typically, like I said, it's a little bit more niche. But yeah, so service focused content, different kind of stretching demonstrations, what to expect at some kind of therapy. If someone, you know, falls within one of those more unique treatments, they might be looking to your social media or even to your website too for kind of some behind the scenes of, you know, what can I be expecting? What might it look like? What might it feel like? Things like that. And then community focused content too. You know, your brand is in a city, in a community, in a region. And so ensuring that your brand and your presence on social media is, you know, plugged into the local community, events that are happening. Maybe you sponsor a team and you want to celebrate alongside them, you know, remembering at the end of the day that, you know, while you're managing a business on social media, it's a business of people, of human beings, and, you know, maintaining that humanization as oftentimes as possible.
Now, when generating content, I imagine that there is probably a sweet spot as pertains to the length of the clip or the amount of information. People tend to be consuming smaller and smaller chunks at a time. So if somebody is going to put together a little video, I think we've worked out, haven't we, roughly the length that tends to be optimum, is that right?
Yes, so under 1 minute, under 60 seconds, it is directly related to a horrifying statistic that I heard, that the human attention span is now lower than a goldfish. So, and now I have to answer what is everyone's follow-up question, which is how long is the attention span of a goldfish? It's 7 seconds. So, you know, the short style video platforms like Vine and TikTok really did not help us out in that regard. But we see that anything more than a minute, we really see a high drop-off rate. I think in that 45 to 60 second mark is the highest performing.
I thought it was just early Alzheimer's. Obviously, it's, I can blame it on social media. 7 seconds is pretty scary.
We'll continue the conversation after a short music break and advertisement.
At Alliance, we believe that partnership means creating something that is greater than the sum of its parts. Our focus is finding physical therapy practices who are already doing good things with the resources and knowledge they have, and then providing them the additional tools, resources, and expertise to bring them from good to great. To learn more about joining our nationwide community of physical therapy practices while maintaining your brand and clinical practice, visit our website at alliancepTP.com.
Welcome back to Agile Me, a physical therapy podcast series.
So if I'm a practice owner, should I be the one that's generating all the content, or are there people that I employ or part of my team that perhaps might be better? So who should be responsible for social media? Because I think if I did it, it would probably fail, you know, very quickly, because what I want to see perhaps isn't the same as what the audience wants to see. So who should be responsible for social media within a private practice?
You know, the rule of thumb that I always say is, you know, just because someone has social media or uses social media, like you said, it doesn't mean that they, you know, genuinely understand what it means to run a business and a brand on social. And it doesn't have the bandwidth probably to support social. So, you know, my plug is always going to be, you know, having some kind of business development or marketing professional on your team that will, you know, have the knowledge and expertise to be able to run it a little bit more effectively. You know, many external vendors will also have really social media management services at a very low cost if you wanted something that's a little bit, you know, lower cost and not maybe directly at taking up time on your team if it's very small. But then, you know, looking internally, if you do, you know, my preference is a front office coordinator, actually. So having someone who sees your patients every single day, who, you know, knows your brand, knows your patients like the back of their hand, they're going to be probably the one that's the most tapped into what exactly patients are looking for from a experience, whether it's in the clinic or, you know, online.
Heard it here first, folks. So it's your front office, or even probably the tech as well, rehab tech, because they connect with patients as well.
That's right. Yeah. Any person within your clinic who's, you know, the most connected, who's going to be with patients every single day, all day, they're going to be, you know, best equipped.
And then the next question is, from a practical perspective, is okay, I've decided to post material, I've started doing it. How often should I be doing it? Because interestingly, I thought the more was better, but it's not necessarily the case, is it?
No, absolutely, definitely not. And, you know, you'll get dinged by social media algorithms if you're spam posting pretty much every single day, multiple times a day. And it's, unfortunately, it's just not a straightforward answer as how often you should be posting. It's going to vary by platform. And that's, you know, definitely the biggest takeaway here is that content and posting, everything should be catered toward the platform that you're working on. You know, Instagram is a great option for someone who's looking to promote their company culture. So 1 to 2 times a week, you know, stories every day, we click through those stories at the top of our feed. You know, I'm on those way more than I'm in my feed now. Facebook, you know, 2 to 5 times a week if you have something, you know, worth posting. LinkedIn, you know, 2 to 3 times a week. You know, you probably don't have as many, you know, B2B, so to speak, pieces of content to be pushing out there. Facebook, it's a little bit more applicable, a little bit more accessible. You know, TikTok, I definitely make a plug for, you know, getting businesses on TikTok and plugging into those algorithms. But, you know, that's one that, you know, we haven't really cracked the code. I think it just is super dependent on the, you know, industry and then the content that you're putting out there. So anytime, you know, 1, 2, 3 times a week. But, you know, the biggest thing, and we kind of talked about it earlier, was quality over quantity. It is not enough to just be posting something to hit a post requirement or a certain cadence that you think you're supposed to be plugging into every week. You know, if you've created content that is on brand, relatable, you know works, and you're posting a ton, then, you know, there's nothing to worry about. But where you do need to start worrying is when you're just posting to post because you think you have to be on the platform. You're going to start losing audience. They're going to find your content not engaging. And that's just, it's a surefire way to start losing your own credibility on social media.
I'm glad that I am posting the amount that I should be posting, so I really don't want to do more. We covered a lot of ground again. I've certainly learned quite a lot. Any final thoughts based on what we've talked about? Anything else or any other things private practice owners should be considering as pertains to social media?
I think if I could sum it up, you know, small scale social management is not challenging to do. It's not, you know, there are nuances, you know, by platform, by industry. So it's not simple, but it's not challenging to do. If you have an hour in your week to think about, you know, to go on to social media, see what's out there, see if there's any, you know, what the competitors are doing, what the trends are, and taking, you know, 10 minutes a day to snap a photo, shoot it off, you know, I think once you get started, once you kind of cross that barrier of it being kind of a scary place to market your brand, you'll find that it's extremely fun and it's a great way to build engaged and loyal patient communities.
I'm always surprised at how much fun clinicians have and also patients have looking at the relevant content as well. Mm-hmm. It's they certainly people do look at it regularly and want to see themselves and want to see success stories, don't they?
Absolutely.
And then the other thing is I kind of call it Kodak moment, again showing my age as it pertains to Kodak. And I think, you know, now it's iPhone moments, isn't it? But every day there's kind of Kodak moments in the clinic, and it's just taking that extra couple of seconds just to capture them, isn't it? And posting them, something critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think at the end of the day, we all just crave a human experience, and social media is a great way to do that for your staff and for your patients.
Well, thank you, Sam. We ran out of time. I think this has been very valuable. I'm looking forward to the final of the three series, which is pertaining to, I think, website design and development and maintenance, isn't it? So looking forward to that. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Alliance Physical Therapy Partners and Agile Virtual Care. For more information, please visit our websites, alliancePTP.com and agilevirtualcare.com. Make sure to follow us on social media and LinkedIn, where you can learn more about Alliance Physical Therapy Partners and Agile Virtual Care.